Today, once again, is Freedom Sunday, a Sunday dedicated to ending slavery worldwide. The Global Slavery Index tells us that 45 million people around the world are trapped in slavery of some kind. 45 million people. An article on CNN this week said the number was about 40 million, so not very far off. It's a staggering number. A staggering number. So let's take just a moment to zoom in on the story of one slave, the story of Sadhna in India. Sadhna grew up in a poor family. Her mom was a domestic worker, and her dad was a rickshaw driver and an alcoholic. At the age of 11, like many girls in that sort of family situation, Sadhna dropped out of school. She started working in a coconut plant, extracting coconut fibers for a tiny salary. She moved to Calcutta when she was 14 years old, working 12 hours a day as a domestic worker. Their family couldn't make it in the village any longer, so they went to the city. And this was her future, as far as she could see, working as a domestic worker. But in 2010, her dad passed away. She took on a heavier responsibility for their family and their finances, and she needed more work. So a neighbor helped her find a job. The neighbor gave her an address there in Calcutta where Sadhna was to go. She went to the address. It was a normal-looking neighborhood. She went inside the house. The house was only had three rooms, filled with strange smells to her. There were strange men walking around and alcohol bottles scattered on the floor. Sadhna became very afraid. She asked for a drink of water, and she lost all sensation at that point. She woke up sometime later to find herself on the floor, naked and terrified. She found out that she was in a brothel. She had been abused, and she had been threatened by the madam. If she's to leave, then the madam knows her family, and the madam will go after her family if Sadhna tries to escape. Everywhere she went from that point on, she was followed by two men, making sure she had no way to escape. Sadhna resigned herself to the reality that this was her life. There was no way out. This would be her future. Sadly, Sadhna is not alone. 45 million similar stories around the world. Not all the same exact circumstances. Some slaves are made to work in brick kilns. Others in other industries in other parts of the world. India is the largest country of slaves in the world today, but one in four slaves is a child, like Sadhna, sometimes even younger. One in four. The number of 45 million slaves worldwide is more slaves than were trafficked during the entire transatlantic slave trade. 400 years of slavery didn't produce as many slaves as we have in the world today. More than any other time in human history. This, my friends, is darkness. Perhaps it's a depth of darkness that you have a hard time comprehending. I know I do. How do we respond to such a darkness? What does Jesus do with this kind of darkness? In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. It's great news, and it's true. Jesus can bring light even to the depths of darkness, like where Sadhna was. Jesus is the light of the world, but it doesn't stop there. You see, Jesus, the light of the world, lives inside each one of us. Those of us who believe in Jesus have the the light of the world in us. Jesus even talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read a piece of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount today from Matthew chapter 5. Before we read, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the light that Jesus brings to this world. We pray that you might open our minds and open our hearts to receive your word today. Work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Think about the work that Jesus has done for us, what he came to the earth to do. In a spiritual sense, Jesus has freed us from slavery to sin. At one point, we were slaves to sin, and Jesus came to free us from that. The New Testament says it many different ways in talking about the slavery to sin that we faced without Jesus. And when we think about our situation without Jesus, it's just as hopeless as Sodna's circumstances. She had very little hope looking forward to her future, and without Jesus, we face the same, or at least a similar, kind of slavery. Jesus came to rescue us, to bring light to the darkness that we faced. And now Jesus is saying, "You are the light of the world." He's not just saying that we have a little bit of the light. He says, "You are the light of the world." Gary Haugen, who is the founder and CEO of International Justice Mission, says that much of the time, we'd rather just have a little bit of the light of the world, not actually be the light of the world. We'd like to keep it in our own little life over here and not be the light of the world. Because, you see, being the light of the world comes with a big responsibility. If there's darkness somewhere, and we know of much darkness in the world, if there's darkness, then the way Jesus deals with that is us. We're the light that dispels the darkness of the world. We are the light of the world. Jesus' plan to deal with the darkness is us. It's a big responsibility. Jesus says in this passage here that light, if it's covered up, isn't much use to anybody. How many of you have ever had your cell phone screen on in your pocket all morning? Okay, I have. It's not much use in there, lighting up my pocket, right? Or a flashlight that gets switched on in your travel bag, runs down the battery. It's done a really good job of lighting up this tiny little area next to your trousers. But it's not much use to anybody when it's covered up like that. Jesus says we ought not to cover up the light of the world either. We should put our light in the highest place so that the most number of people can see it. positioning our light to dispel the darkness. Because the darkness is going to creep in one way or another. Sometimes it comes rushing in like a hurricane. The darkness will come, but Jesus says, put your light so that it can dispel that darkness. Set it up high. Don't hide it to yourself and keep it to yourself. It's meant for the world, he says. IJM says the same thing when they say that freed people, free people. Rescued people, rescue people. We've been freed. We've been rescued by Jesus. We've been given that light. Now we use it to help others, to share that light. In the passage Gary read for us from Isaiah 58, we see some beautiful imagery there about God's heart for those who are afflicted. God is telling the people of Israel, don't just keep the light to yourselves by fasting and praying. Yes, fasting and praying is good, but he says if that's all you do and you're ignoring these people over here who are suffering, right in your neighborhood, these people who need food, who need shelter, if you're ignoring them, then you're not really following me, God says to them. He says, and this is where Gary started reading, this is the fast that I want you to follow. And then he goes off on this whole list of things that they should do to help the poor, to feed the hungry, to give a home to the homeless, to help those who are afflicted. But what I think is amazing in this passage is that what happens when they do that, because God keeps on going, and he says, when you do those things, helping the afflicted, then, he says, your light will burst forth like the dawn. After a dark, dark night, the sun will come up when you do these things. It brings light to the world. And the thing about the dawn is it's not just breaking the darkness, it's the actual light, but the dawn comes with a sort of promise that there's a new day full of light. There's hope when the sun comes up. A little bit later, in that same passage, God will say through the prophet Isaiah, when we satisfy the needs of the afflicted, and I would say people like Sadna, when we help them, our light rises in the darkness and our gloom turns to noonday. God has the power to turn even the darkest places of the world into the noonday light. It's an amazing picture. An amazing picture of what happens when we bring justice to those who need it the most. Darkness is scary. I don't deny that. We're tempted to stay away from it. We're tempted to take our high-powered flashlight and stand way over here and aim it just right to hit the darkness. But Jesus calls us to be light in the darkness, not to be afraid of it, not to give in to fear. Gary Haugen, once again, in his book, Just Courage, says this about his children. When they were young, they were very scared of the dark in their bedrooms. And they would he couldn't convince them. As he says, no amount of rational discourse could convince them otherwise. They were scared, even though the darkness of their bedroom was nothing to be really afraid of. He finally discovered the only way they were going to get over this is if someone were to go into the darkness of their bedroom and come out alive. So he kind of jokingly with his kids now puts them in the hallway in the light, and they look into the dark bedroom, and then he charges into the darkness to show them that it's going to be okay. He charges into the darkness of the bedroom, and as he says, every single time, he came out alive. And his kids, were watching him do this, and they were empowered by that to be able to charge into the darkness on their own. And suddenly, after this practice, and it became a practice for their family, after they did that, then they were not afraid of the dark anymore. When it comes to fearing the darkness of the world, we too can benefit from those who've gone before, who have charged the darkness before us, charging into those deep, dark places around the world. And thankfully, God has a lot of people in the world who are doing that. It's precisely the work of International Justice Mission. IJM is charging the darkness of slavery all around the world. Turning back to Sadhna and her story, thankfully, through the work of IJM, she was rescued on January 8, 2013. Upon being rescued, she was put in IJM's aftercare program where she received counseling. She recovered from the trauma that she'd experienced, and she started working with a nonprofit making jewelry. And she now shares her story, giving hope to so many other people. And she also helps to prevent others from falling into the same kind of trap of slavery that she fell into. Sadhna describes herself not as a victim, but as a survivor. IJM has stories like Sadhna's from all around the world. In Cambodia, around the turn of the millennium, Cambodia was known as ground zero for pedophiles, for sex tourism, due in large part to IJM's coordinated effort with law enforcement and the courts and other NGOs. The prevalence of young minors in the sex industry, in the biggest markets for that around the country of Cambodia, had dropped after they had worked on it so hard. It had dropped from highs ranging from 15 to 30% in some cases, all the way down below 1% to 1/10 of 1%. Shining light in the darkness. We look around the world today and we see all kinds of darkness. This onslaught of hurricanes, the Mexico earthquake, volcano alert in Indonesia, the Rohingya, Syria, Iraq, South Sudan, Somalia. The list goes on. We could continue listing out the darkness for the rest of the day. In Midland, there's darkness as well. It may be a little more hidden than a big hurricane, but there's kids who are hungry right here in our own city every day. There's abuse, there's neglect, there's all kinds of darkness in Midland. How can you charge the darkness today? We are the light of the world. Be encouraged today. It just takes a tiny little flicker to dispel the darkness. By definition, if there's a flicker of light in the darkness, it's no longer darkness. Don't forget in all of this that we serve the King Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than anything that we might face in the world. More powerful than the slave trade. More powerful than the hurricane, more powerful than the earthquake. Jesus is the one we serve, the one who's given us this light, the power that makes our light possible. So today on Freedom Sunday, I want to encourage you to charge the darkness by considering partnering with IJM, becoming what they call a freedom partner. They say and believe wholeheartedly that we can completely eradicate slavery from our planet in our lifetime. That this is within reach if they have the proper resources to address slavery wherever it's occurring. You'll find an insert from IJM in your bulletin today. That's designed for you to fill out and drop in the offering plate. Or if you'd like more information, we have a table out in front of the library over here by the reception desk. This is one opportunity to address this one place of darkness in our world where 45 million are enslaved. Supporting with your finances is not the only thing that IJM needs. It's not the only way to respond today. Even more than financial support, this kind of work that IJM does requires prayer. Prayer is central in the way they have set up their ministry and their mission. Their staff in each of the locations and their offices worldwide take a time out of every day to gather together and pray for the work that they're doing. Each year they have a global prayer gathering where they all come together to pray for the work that's going on. Without the prayer behind what IJM does, they would not be meeting any of this success that we celebrate today. Now, for the first time ever, here in Midland, we're going to be hosting a night of prayer with IJM. This is going to happen next Sunday. Next Sunday, October 1st, in the evening at 6 o'clock, we'll have a few staff from IJM who will be joining us to lead us in prayer for their work around the world in the different areas and the different places that they work. That's next Sunday at 6 o'clock, and I want to invite y'all to come. It's right here in our chapel. Remember, you are the light of the world. Don't keep the light of Jesus just to yourself. Be the light of the world. Amen.